I strategically had a video there so I could take a little breather. Hope you enjoyed that. How's everybody doing this morning? I know things are a little different this morning. Pastor Mark's taking a little break, and he gave me the privilege of preaching this morning. Thanks, Mark. We hope you're feeling better. You look good. I know Steph's taking good care of you. Amen. My message this morning is, how great is our God? Let's say that together. How great is our God? My text this morning is Psalm 100, if you want to take your Bibles and turn there. But I want to look at this short psalm and understand the character of God through this psalm. It's very interesting how much information is in this short psalm that we can glean on who God is and what God desires of us, his creation. How many of us here this morning want God's power in our life? But my challenge to you is, do you really want God's power in your life? We're going to see in this short psalm what God desires of us in our relationship with him, and as he explains through his word who he is. And if you have your Bibles, let's read that short but powerful scripture together. Psalm 100. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We ask that you would allow us to focus for a few minutes this morning on what you would speak to us individually as well as a congregation on how to please you, your creation. Lord, we love you this morning. We worship you. Open the ears and eyes of our heart that we may see and hear what you would have for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I ask the question, how many of you want God's power in your life? Is God great enough? Is God great enough for you to make a joyful noise unto him and to come into his presence with singing? Is he great enough for you to be willing to do that? So many people come to church quiet, somber, not filled with joy, not with the attitude of singing praises to our God, our Creator. Why is that? When this scripture tells us exactly how God wants us to come before him. Amen? This is God's word. All scripture is inspired by God for teaching and reproof. It's so easy to just glance right through this short psalm, but yet this short psalm is so powerful in understanding God and what his heart is. Amen? So is God great enough for you and you and you to be willing to shout joyful songs before the Lord? The Hebrew word for shout in this scripture is called ruah, R-U-A. But it means more like a battle cry. Shout, like you would shout for the Steelers when they win the Super Bowl, whenever that was. You know, that excitement, that shout of enthusiasm. That's what this word is saying to us. Shout unto the Lord. Sing joyfully. And many of you might say, well, that's just not who I am. That's just not who I was created to be. Is it really? Is it really? When God tells us in His Word what He desires, and this psalm begins with what He desires of us, and then He explains further on that it is He that has created us, not we ourselves. We are His sheep and the sheep of His pasture. So when we come to church, are we coming to praise our Creator? And are we coming to please Him? Or do we have other intents in our heart why we act and why we do what we do when we come to church? So often, it's so easy to sit in the pew and look at other people. Oh, I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they're acting that way. I can't believe they dressed that way. Where does that come from, church? I'm coming with this message humbly. This scripture jumped out at me as I, in my own life, am really trying to pursue God and please Him. And it's so easy to get entangled with deep theological discussion and deep theological, you know, do's and don'ts, or why this church does that and why that church split away and did that. And this simple psalm gives us so much information on God's character and God's heart. Can you see that? So is God great enough? Is He great enough for you to be willing to humble yourself and shout praises to Him, to sing joyful songs to Him? If you really want to please God's heart, enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Very simply, this will please God. So often we live our life, we say that we pray continuously, as the scripture encourages us to pray continuously. But are we really praying to our Heavenly Father? Or are we really just dictating to Him what we want Him to do for us? God, I need healing. I need this. I need that. I need this. Please do this, God. Please do this. And what it amounts to is we are living our life inwardly focused, as if God owes us something. But what we can glean from this text is if we would be outwardly focused towards Him, because He's the one that created us. He knows what we need. He knows even what we want. And don't we all want to be loved? And don't we all want to know someone who will be faithful to us no matter what? And this simple psalm tells us that is exactly what God wants to do for us. Know that the Lord is good, and that His love is everlasting, and He is faithful to all generations, not just to you, or not just to your grandparents, or not just to Moses or Abraham or David, but to He's faithful to all generations. That includes you and me. So let us rejoice in the God that created us. Amen. I got a new birthday present, an iPad. Pretty cool, huh? So this is the first time I'm using it, and I'm loving it. This short psalm tells us so much about our Heavenly Father. At the turn of the century, there was a great missionary. His name was William Carey. And he was quoted as saying, "The world has yet to see what God can do through a man who is completely committed to Him." The world has yet to see what God can do through a man who is completely committed to Him. What a powerful statement. We all think that the good works that we do are important, which they are. But what does it mean to be completely committed to God? That's powerful. It's a powerful statement. And don't we all want to be that person? Don't we all want to be that person that is completely committed to God? We're all running this race. We're all in a race to win the prize, amen? And then the short psalm explains so much of what we need to do to be committed to God. And it's really not that hard. God does all the work. God is the one with the power, not us. He is the one that created us, not we ourselves. How many of us want God's power in our life, is the question I asked at the beginning. So many of us wonder, why isn't God moving here? Why isn't God doing this for me? Could it be our attitude towards Him is not right? Could it be that God is longing to bless you? He's longing to pour out that love and that faithfulness. But where are you in your part of the relationship of praising Him joyfully, serving Him with gladness? Where are you in that part of the relationship? God is faithful forever. He's not withholding His blessing, but He's desiring you in that relationship with Him. And that relationship is grounded in simply loving Him, praising Him, being filled with joy in all things concerning Him. Am I the only one excited about that? I think that is so awesome because God Almighty, the creator of the universe, created you and you and you and you and you for the sole purpose of His pleasure of loving you. Amen? That is so wonderful. And we glean that from this small, simple psalm. So the word shout, I explained earlier, is a shout, a word meaning enthusiastically excited. So our God that we worship, who created us, is a God of enthusiasm, is a God of excitement, is a God that wants to do great things through and for you, individually and as a church body. He wants to be served with gladness, and He enjoys joyful singing. Many people just say, that's not who I am. But the scripture says, yes, it is who you are. Oftentimes, people can be self-centered, and it actually is pride that gets in the way of worship. It actually is a barrier where we hide behind our righteousness and say, well, I don't do that. I can't believe they do that. But if they're doing what the scripture says to do, who's right? You follow me on that? If God is calling us to sing praises to Him, let's sing praises to Him. If God is calling us to shout to the Lord with gladness, let's be free to shout to the Lord with gladness. If you can't do it in the sanctuary as the Lord commanded us to do, I know you're not doing it out in the world. And the world's not seeing the joy of the Lord in your life. Church, this place should be a place of freedom, a place of liberation, a place where you can come and pour your heart out to God. And He will fill your heart with joy and love and faithfulness that endures forever. Amen? I'm praying for revival in this country. There is revival happening in the world. I see that hand, brother. I believe God wants to bring revival. Do you believe that, Pastor? The Holy Spirit is moving across the world. All you have to do is open your eyes and look and see what God is doing, not only around us, but around the world. It's so easy to get discouraged. It's so easy to watch CNN or Fox News Channel, the 24-hour news channels, and just be bombarded with negative news. But people, they're in the business of making money. They're in the business of keeping you drawn to the TV to find out all this negative news. But all you have to do is turn it off. Read the Word. The Holy Spirit is moving in the world. You're not going to hear that on the 24-hour news cable channels. You're going to feel it and know it by reading the Word and seeing what God's doing around the world. And when you see what God's doing, get involved. Be willing to get involved. Amen. I am one that loves enthusiasm. My wife knows that. I just love enthusiasm. It's just who I am. I love music. I love praise and worship. I thank God for that gift. Each of us, whether you're musically talented or not, you can praise the Lord just by lifting your voice, having a pure heart before Him. God is alive and He's moving now. And He wants to move here in this church. Do you want it? Do you welcome it? Do you desire it? Pastor mentioned a couple weeks ago that we're going to start having Sunday evening services. And we're going to have an extended time of worship. We're going to welcome the Holy Spirit to come. And hopefully that time will pour out into our Sunday morning services. But there is so much more to serving the Lord with gladness than just coming and sitting in the pew for an hour and then going off and living your life. If you can't praise God here, you're not going to praise Him out there. God wants you to be so used to praising Him that you will praise Him out there. And people will see the love and the joy in your heart and desire it. It's happening around us, people. Let's get on board. Amen? It doesn't matter what your age is. I'm getting up there. We're all getting up there. But you know what? Jesus, the Lord God Almighty, desires a childlike faith. He wants us to get excited. Amen? 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 Oh, praise the Lord. God wants to be praised. Here's two reasons to praise God. Two reasons to praise God, and there's so many more. We see in verse 3, know that the Lord Himself is God. That's reason one to praise Him. He is God, and that He loves us. How awesome is that? God, Almighty Creator of heaven and earth, not only created everything, not only has a purpose for everything, but He loves you and you and me. He has a purpose and a plan for us. We're not here by mistake. We're not sitting here in this church this morning by mistake. God has a plan and a purpose. I want to be in that plan. Do you? I want to be in the middle of God's purpose. Do you? Isaiah 61:3 says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Even if you don't feel like it, put it on like a garment. Say, God, I am hurting. I had a bad week. I had a bad month. I had a bad year. I don't feel like praising. Why aren't you doing what I want? Isaiah is saying, don't look at it intellectually. Put on your praise like a garment. Physically, Lord, I'm going to put on praise and just start praising God and watch the miracles happen. Watch the Spirit move in your heart. Watch forgiveness come into your heart. Watch joy fill your heart. It will happen. It will happen. God is worthy of praise. And another reason to praise God is that He loves us and His kindness is everlasting. God will continually pour out His love and His kindness into your heart eternally, everlasting, never to come to an end. It's a promise in Psalm 100 that we can hold on to, and it will give us the reason a reason, one of many, to praise him, to put on that garment of praise. It was customary in the Jewish time during Passover to sing praises to God after the meal. And I have to admit, studying the Bible over these last 35 years, I glazed over this small little scripture. But in Mark 14:26, it says that Jesus sang praises. After the Passover meal, it was customary to sing praise. And what did they sing? Any idea? What do you think the Jewish people sang? Psalms. The Psalms, we read them as words, but they were actually written as songs. So I can see Jesus and the disciples saying, shout to the Lord, we love you, Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. If Jesus did it, we should do it. Amen? Hallelujah. And Hebrews 2:12 says, in the midst of the congregation, I will sing thy praise. That's what we're called to do here. We're called to read the, hear the word, hear the preaching. But just as important to God, we're called to worship him, to praise him. Am I getting my point across? Yes. Hallelujah. It's my heart. God's put it in my heart because it's his heart. Amen? And through that praise, we can see God move. Praise is like a key that opens a door. The door might seem locked. We could be walking with the Lord for 20, 30, 40 years. We could come to church and fall asleep. What good is that? How does that please God? But praise is like a door that opens. It's like a key to a locked door. When you put on the garment of praise with the right attitude and worship him, a door opens to a fresh new light of relationship with our Heavenly Father. Amen? So let our praise open that locked door to a whole new, deeper walk with our Lord, because that's what he desires. That's what he desires. And if Jesus did it, guess what? We should do it. When we see God moving around the world, if Jesus did it, we should do it. If Jesus went there, we should go there. If Jesus loved that person, we should love that person. I don't know where the church got off track by getting so pious or holy, or I'm not even sure what the word is, but Isaiah says, our righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord. When God is really just looking for a humble heart towards him, a heart that's filled with gratitude and joy towards him. It's okay if you have preferences of how you want to dress, but don't judge the person next to you if they don't have that same preference. It's okay if you have a preference of what you like per se, but don't judge that person next to you if they don't. When we enter these courts, when we enter this sanctuary, our sole focus should be on him. Amen? Enter his courts with praise and thanksgiving. That should be our attitude. And watch that locked door open to blessing and the power of God in your life that you never knew before. Hallelujah. I'm getting excited, and I hope you are too. Take note of what God is doing around the world. Through that praise, through that new fresh relationship that we will experience with God, he will lead you into the ministry that he wants you to go in. But if you can't even enter into that praise, that sanctuary of praise here, I know you're not going to be doing it outside of these walls, and God does too. Why would he say, enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise? He knows exactly what he's instructing us to do. Let us be in a place of encouragement. Let us be a place of love. Let us be a place of praise to Almighty God, so those around us in the community would sense the love and the joy and the power that God will radiate through this place, through you. If we humble ourselves in serving Him as He wants to be served, amen? Serve the Lord with gladness, not with you know, whatever, you know, gladness, love, joy. I hear people say, we need the Holy Spirit in this place. You know what? I agree. But that locked door is locked for some reason, and I believe it will be opened through praise. I believe if we just take these simple words from this simple scripture and humble ourselves before the Lord and worship Him the way He wants to be worshiped, the Holy Spirit would fall and fill us with love and joy. And that love and joy will just permeate from this building and touch those around us. Amen? When Solomon dedicated the temple to the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord fell mightily. It was a heaviness. And that's where we get the understanding of people being slain in the Spirit. People were touched so mightily by the Holy Spirit, they completely just laid back and basked in the presence of God. Some might say that's not for today. I would disagree. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to be poured out in these last days. I believe God is hungering and thirsting and desiring for us, a church family, followers of Christ, to humble ourselves before Him so that He can heal our land and that He will be glorified. And it starts here, church. It starts here with a simple, humble attitude of praise unto God Almighty. And He promises, He will pour out His love. He will pour out His faithfulness. He will set us free from whatever chains are binding us. It's a promise. It's a guarantee. Take it to the bank. God is true and faithful to His word. And God is true and faithful to you and you and you and me. Amen? When Jesus performed miracles, the healings casting out demons, He didn't do it for the sake of compassion's sake, even though there was compassion involved. He did it to glorify His Father who is in heaven. He did those miracles and signs and wonders so people would see that He had the power of God in Him. But He didn't take the glory. He gave the glory to His Father, that His Father would be glorified. That's the attitude we should have. If the attitude of Jesus was that, that should be our attitude. And it is not a godly attitude to have judging in your heart, to judge others, to criticize, to tear down, to speak ill of, to tell off-color jokes, to criticize another gender. That's not God at all. God is love. God is mercy. God is all powerful. But this psalm tells us that He desires to pour these things out onto us if we would humble ourselves before Him and enter His courts with thanksgiving and praise. Amen? Hallelujah. If Jesus did it, we should do it. That my Father may be glorified through the Son. John 14:3. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, He speaks of the Antichrist deceiving the people of God. I'm not trying to offend anybody, but it's scripture, and I feel the Lord wants me to say it.
Daniel 11:32,
the Antichrist will deceive with flattery. The devil himself will deceive you with flattery. He will tell you, oh, look how good you are. Look how holy you are. And look at those other people. Huh, I would never do that. I would never dress like that. I can't believe they're acting like that, raising their hands, singing aloud like that. But Daniel goes on to say, but the people who know their God will do great things through their great God. Those who know their God will do great things through their God. How do we know God? How do we know God? His Word. The Holy Spirit. Looking to Jesus. What would Jesus do? How did he act? How did he talk? Where did he go? That's how we know God's heart. And simply in this small, short psalm, we learn who God is and what he wants. And it's very simple. He wants to be praised. And he wants us to serve him with gladness. Amen? Satan is like a salesman that will convince you that you need what he's selling. He's cunning. He's shrewd. He's the father of all lies. Be careful, church, on who you're listening to. Be careful on what foundation you're building upon. Because the enemy will try to deceive you. And I see it. We see it all over the place in churches. People are being deceived by the masses. They're being misled. They're being misunderstood. It's not that hard. But the cunning lies, the shrewd sales pitches of the enemy will convince you to believe a lie. To make you feel, well, that's just who I am. That's just what I do. That's my nationality. That's the way I was brought up. This is just the way I act. And if you don't like it, too bad. But church, this is the key. Jesus came and paid the price to set us free from ourselves. If shouting praises to God, as the scripture calls us to do, and serving him with gladness goes against who you feel that you are, that's a good thing. Because Jesus has called us to crucify the flesh so that he can live through us. The first scripture that I memorized after I got saved was Galatians 2:20. Mark quoted it a couple weeks ago. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And the life that I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself for me. If you feel that you don't have in you what it takes to do what the Psalm is instructing you to do, then you need to crucify the flesh. There's a constant battle, Galatians tells us, against the flesh and the spirit. There's a constant battle going on. And people, the biggest perpetrator of that battle usually is pride. You think more highly of yourself than you ought. Our flesh needs to be crucified daily, as Paul tells us. Because if you don't crucify your flesh daily, your flesh is going to win over the spirit. It's just the way it is. The enemy, like that salesman, is going to convince you. It's okay to say that joke in church. It's okay to ridicule her for wearing that hat or that coat or that shirt. Can you believe she did that in our church? That's not God. That is not God. We need to crucify our flesh daily. that Jesus would live through us instead of our own flesh living through us. Amen? Amen? We want the power of God in our life. How great is our God is the message this morning. How great is our God? Are you willing? Is God great enough for you to be willing to serve him as he wants to be served? Amen? I would hope that all of us would say that. I would hope that all of us would say that. I believe God has a wonderful plan for this church. I believe that there is a hope and a future. I know it. But we need to come to repentance so that revival could rise up here, so that our community can be touched by the love and power of God Almighty through Jesus Christ, his Son. Are you with me? Amen, amen. Don't be deceived, church. Don't listen to the enemy's lies. But Romans 1 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For those who of us who are being saved, to us it's the power of God under salvation. God desires to be praised. And he desires to pour out his love on us. And the greatest act of love that he poured out on us was sending his son Jesus to die on that old rugged cross for our sins. So not only would our sins be forgiven, but that we could be raised up in new life in him. So that we would have the power through Christ to crucify our own flesh, that Christ would live through us. That's the only way the world is going to be touched by the gospel, is if we allow Christ to live through us. Amen? Paul says in Philippians, that I may know him. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and through his suffering. Crucifying the flesh is not easy, church. We want to be prideful. We want to stand on what we think should be done and what we think is best. And if people don't like it, too bad. I'm going to be who I am. But my last point, church, is that God resists the proud. 1 Peter. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Jesus himself humbled himself, Philippians 2 tells us, to take on the likeness of men, to like take on the likeness of man and experience everything that we experience, yet live sinfully, sinlessly, and then take our sins upon himself to the cross. Jesus paid the price. He was the propitiation of our sins. There was a debt that needed to be paid. And Jesus paid that debt with his own life to be tortured and nailed to a cross for us in our place. And the blood of Jesus is what covers us and offers us forgiveness of our sin. But yet the good news is, he rose again, and he's alive today. And we are called to be alive in him. The life that we live now in the flesh, we crucify that flesh so that Christ might live through us. That's the only way. That's the only way that we could come into his courts with praise and thankfulness, when we recognize how much love God has already poured out for us and shown to us and proved to us that his faithfulness endures forever. Amen. Where are you this morning? Where are you in your relationship with God? Have you become hard? Have you become hard-hearted? Have you allowed the salesman to deceive you? that shrewd liar to deceive you into accepting your pride, believing that it's okay to hold on to who you think you are when we're called to deny ourselves, to be crucified so that Christ would live through us. We're going to close with one song if the band wants to come up as we sing the last song. How great is our God. And I hope the message sparked an interest in you to really examine, do I want the power of God in my life? Or would I be more comfortable just holding on to that pride? And that's not what God wants for us. God wants us to resist that pride. God wants us to crucify that pride. God wants us to crucify all those deeds of the flesh that we read about in Galatians 5 so that Christ might live through us and in us and set us free and bring us to a point, bring us to that place where we enter his courts with praise and enter the sanctuary with thanksgiving. Amen? As the band is ready to play, let's just take a few minutes and sing this last song. How great is our God. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would just touch your heart. There's freedom in surrender. I pray, church, that we would all surrender ourselves under the authority of Jesus Christ. That the power of God, the love of God, would be poured out in our hearts. And that we would be free to worship and praise and be thankful and serve the Lord with gladness. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Let's stand in closing. How great is our God?
The splendor of the King. Oh, Eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, church. Go in peace.